Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is good.
Amen. 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 Well, we have in the last week or so been discussing the subject of prayer. Prayer. It is the lifeline of the believer. It has been rightly said that a prayerless life is a powerless life. How true. How true. Well, let's think for a moment. What is the real reason for prayer? Because we do know that God knows all things. He sees all things. I have a grandson. I have many grandchildren. But I have a grandson that was the youngest one at this point. When I watch him, as I watch him grow, I notice that he doesn't have to ask me for help when I know he needs help. If he's trying to hurt himself, I don't stay here and wait for him to hurt himself and then say, "Why did you hurt yourself?" If he's crawling towards something that's going to be bad for him, I go there and scoop him up. God is not less of a father than I am. So why does he want me to pray when he knows I'm in trouble already? It's a vital question. Because knowing the answer to that will help me understand why God wants me to pray. And will help me grasp very clearly what the ultimate purpose and intent is when we pray. So why does God want me to pray? There are many reasons. So many reasons that we cannot tap into all of them today. But one of the primary reasons is relationship. Relationship. You say, what do you mean relationship? Relationship, for us to understand, one, yes, I am created in the image and the likeness of God. Yes, I can do all things through whom? Through Christ. Oh, so if it is through Christ, then I must be in Christ, I must be connected to Christ for things to happen. We as human beings, as people, as tough, as smart, as strong as we are, cannot do a lot of things. I cannot just go out there and take one truck, 18-wheeler, and lift it up in one hand and take another one on the other hand and start juggling it. I'm not that powerful. A crane can do that, but not me. So one of the reasons why we pray is because of our powerlessness. Because we are not powerful enough to do certain things. And the reason we have to do that is because of the presence of sin that came into the world and disempowered us. But you say, child of God, Pastor, I'm now saved. I'm no longer powerless. Shouldn't that power be restored? Absolutely. But how is it restored? By me being in agreement with God. I was in disagreement with God and became powerless. But now when I become one who agrees with God, then now I can do all things through Christ. God says to us, in the book of James, he says, Elijah was a man just like us. But he prayed and said, no rain. And there was no rain for 3.5 years. And he said, okay, rain. And then it rained. But what was the difference? He had a connection with God. He knew what God said and began to enforce what God said. And God says, he was just like you. But look at the powerful thing that he did. Look at the powerful things that he did because of his connection to me. Our connection with God, by relating with God, causes us to be empowered. It causes the power of God to begin to flow into my life and through my life. Prayer is not just asking. It is part of it. But most of the asking that you and I need to do is the asking to know what the will of God is so that we can come into agreement with that will and therefore begin to prophesy and declare that will done in the earth as it is in heaven. So it's about relationship. It is about us not just connecting because we have a sense of belonging to God, but connecting to his ability, his power to fulfill the destiny and the purpose that we are crying out to him for. Why do we pray? We pray because we are located in one spot, not omnipotent or all-powerful. We are not omniscient in the sense that we don't know everything. So we got to tap into the one who knows everything so that that will of him who knows everything knows yesterday, knows today, knows tomorrow can be done. We are not omnipresent, meaning that we are not everywhere present. But we tap into that grace of being everywhere present, all-knowing, all-powerful when we pray. You say, why is it necessary, Pastor? Why is it that we pray? Because God wants you to be a partner in the creative workings of what he wants done in the earth. Nobody operates here without a body. You need a body to do anything in the earth. And so God wants you and I to link into his omniscience, into his omnipotence, into his omnipresence. And by connecting, by relationship, begin to declare what the all-knowing God knows, what the all-powerful God knows, what the all-everywhere present God knows into a particular situation. So therefore, there can be a situation happening in the Congo, and I'm here in Winnipeg, and effect change in Congo. Because from here, I am prophesying, and I become God's hands and God's feet, so to speak. Are you with me so far? So God wants to partner with me. And the point of partnership is the point of me recognizing that without God, I can do nothing. Without God, I can do what? Nothing. But with God, I can do all things. Amen? Without him, I can't. With him, I can. It is like, you see, let me back up a moment. Prayer and grace are sisters. When you pray, you get the grace of God. You get the enablement of God. You get the empowerment of God to do what you cannot do without God. And that ultimately is the true definition of grace. The empowering presence of God that allows me to do what I cannot do in or by myself. That makes sense? All right. So, let us hold on to that and pick up from where we sort of wrapped up or try to wrap up this morning, where the Word of God says in John 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me, if you stay with me, if you stay in me, if you stick with me, and my words abide in you. In other words, you don't spill it out, but you embrace that word of God. He says something begins to happen to you. He says, you shall ask what you will. You shall ask what you what will. Wait a minute. You shall ask what you will. You get to ask what you will. Well, I thought prayer is about knowing the will of God and praying the will of God. And when we pray the will of God, God's will becomes manifested in the earth. What is this? You shall ask what you will. Because it's a partnership. You come to the place where it is not just what God is saying he wants. God says, I gave you a will. What do you want? But that is when you abide in him and with him. It is the next level. It's the next level where you prophesy, not because you heard anything from God. Not because God says, thus saith the Lord. No, you said, this is what I'm willing for this person right now, and I'm declaring over this life that this happens, and God says, amen. There is a place, but it's the place where you have learned to abide. You are with God, that your mind and the mind of God link up together, and your thinking and his thinking become one. He says, I don't answer your prayer because my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways, they're different from yours. But God wants you to come to a place where your ways and your thoughts connect with his, so that what you are thinking is what God is thinking, and what God is thinking is what you are thinking. That is where God wants you to come to. That's where God wants me to come to. It's a place of relational power, the place of agreement. What do you want? What do you want done? This is what I want. I remember many years ago, some of you may have heard me tell this story. The Lord told me he wanted to do something for me. And I said, I don't think so. He said, why are you saying that? I said, I think we should do it this way. If you can imagine God high-fiving you, that's how I felt. Because what God said to me was, I like your idea better. I said, what? What do you mean you like my idea better? You know everything. He said, I was just checking you out to find out whether you know what is best. It's called relating, connecting. Having the heartbeat of God, where you come and you say, this is what's going to happen. And God says, I'm in agreement with that. Because he knows that you are always seeking what he wants. Is there a time that you ask for something and God says, no, I don't think so. Absolutely. Because he's already set up in his word that he wants to do exceedingly far beyond anything you dare ask or think. According to the power that worketh in you. And that power that worketh in you is the power of the fullness of God that has come and is abiding in you. Ephesians 3:19. That you come to the knowledge, come into the fullness of the love of God in Christ Jesus, and come to the place where you know beyond natural knowledge that power of God that causes the fullness of God to come abide in you. So if the fullness of God abides in you, then the ability of God abides in you. Amen? So that your thought and the thoughts of God are connected. So that you don't keep on second-guessing or second-whatever yourself. Is this the will of God? Is this not the will of God? Maybe it's the will of God. Maybe it's not. No. I thought it. It must be Him. Why do I know that? Because I'm dead. And He lives inside of me. And therefore, if I'm thinking a thought, and I'm thinking this thought right now, it must be Him. Because I'm not thinking the devil's thoughts. Because I am not focused on the flesh. I'm not about me, myself, and I. I'm about whatever it is God wants. I am sold out to God. And because I'm sold out to God, and I want what God wants, every thought I think, I believe, is God's thought. Praise the Lord. That happens because we have a relationship. That's why it's important to have a relationship with God. So you don't waste your time thinking, is it me or is it God? No, there should be no difference. If you are filled with the fullness of God, there should be no difference. If you are connected to the love of God, there should be no difference. So we are not going to waste the time thinking, is it me or is it God? Anybody here plays ping pong? You play ping pong? Two hands, three, four, five, a few hands. If you play ping pong or you play tennis, you know this, that if the ball is crossing over that net over to your side, and you decide to smash that ball, and then you decide, maybe not, you have a very high percentage that you are going to miss that play. There's a very good chance that ball is going to end up on that net or out somewhere because you are flip-flopping. You cannot afford to flip-flop in the things of God. You don't have that time. Go with what you got right now. This is what I believe I should do, and you focus your attention on that, and if God has a better idea that is different than that, He will tell you. Now, let's go a little bit further. The Word of God says to us in Romans, it says, we don't know how we ought to pray. Therefore, the Spirit takes on the role of intercession and connects with us so that we pray correctly. Now, if you've got the Spirit of God inside of you, you must rely on that Spirit and recognize, I don't know what to pray, so the Spirit of God is going to pray for me. You start speaking in your spiritual language, and the Spirit of God will zoom in into the details that you do not know. Why? Why? Why is that necessary? Because your natural mind sometimes plays games with you. If God were to show me everything He wants to do like that, My mind may come in and say, that's a big one. That's a real big one. If there's a man here right now with one leg cut off, and God wants to grow a brand new leg, my mind would tell me, brother, don't do it. Brother, nothing is going to happen. You're going to be the laughing stock. Everybody's going to say, look at him. He was praying for somebody's leg to grow out, and it didn't happen. But when you're speaking in tongues, you don't have that problem. Because God, are you listening? You sure? God, before you face that situation, has gotten you to pray the answer way before. So that when you come there, let me ask you this question. We're all by faith ministers, but you're going to come across this. Have you ever prayed a prayer, and when you were praying it, something was saying, this one is a big order, and then it happened? And you say, I wasn't believing that strongly, but look at it, it happened. Guess why it happened? Because the prayer had been prayed before you got there. And the prayer had already been answered before you got there. God was already praying in the Spirit through you in bringing that situation together so that when you came there with your wishy-washy self, the answer had already been taken care of. You had already prayed it in the Spirit. Are you with me? You connect with God. You speak the language of God. And whenever you come to the situation, understand God already saw it before you got there. And therefore, whatever doubt you have, shove it. God saw this before I got here. So, Lord, I believe you to do what you got to do here in the name of Jesus. Amen? By speaking to the Lord in prayer, talking to him, you solve a lot of issues that you have not yet encountered physically. And so you can trust God and be at peace. If you have spent any time praying at all, Jesus, our Lord, spent time praying. Nights praying. Every quiet moment he could take, he spent praying. But you never saw him praying for any sick person. You know why? It had already been solved. So he says, see. He says, what do you want? You got it. Why? Because it's already been taken care of. And God has already taken care of any issue, child of God, that you are fretting or worrying about. You can be at the state of rest in God and say, God, you already saw this. You already know the problem. I don't have to tell you all kinds of funny stories about this situation. You already have it under control. So God, I say your will be done now in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, let thy will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. And this morning we emphasize that particular point. God's will is already happened in heaven. It's already happened. It's not going to happen. It's already happened. And all I want to do is agree with God. So that brings me to this. You know, the quickest shortcut, you know, everything has a shortcut. Everything has a shortcut. There's a shortcut. The shortcut is this. God, you have a will. I agree with your will concerning this issue. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have a will about it already. I am agreeing with your will. Amen. And now you watch to see how things are falling into place. Oh, wow. I didn't. Look at what God did here. It is not in your hands. It is all in His hands. And all you are doing is agreeing with Him. I agree with what your will is concerning this matter. Amen. Many years ago, before we changed our roof to what it is right now, we were doing some patchwork, and God was in the patchwork. I don't know why God does that, but He does that. He takes you step by step based on where you are in agreement with Him. So, we needed some specialized material to do what we needed to do. This was a very expensive kind of paint that had fiber in it and would seal the spots that were damaged. But we needed to do the entire roof. But the amount of material that we had, could one whole gallon will cover maybe 4x4 to seal it. But we wanted to do the whole roof, which meant that we weren't going to do too much because we had only about 12 gallons. But we needed to do the whole roof. So say, God, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what we got. So we started painting with it. With that small amount, we covered the whole roof. It was not natural. It was totally supernatural. Say, Pastor, why do you mention that? Because part of our problem is we reduce God to our natural thinking. Now, what we need to do is go the wise but natural-minded foolish way, which is agree with God that whatever it is that we have now is enough. You may wonder, how is it that you travel so much? Where did all the money come for to do what you need to do? If I show you some of my bills for a hotel in some of these countries, you say, no way. But if you don't want to sleep under the tree, you got to stay in that hotel. And then they come and show you a bill, $1,000. I just stayed there for one night. Yes, $1,000 pay. You say, what? So how do I get out from here to go there and have a big fat bill like that when my pocket looks very empty? But you know that's where God wants you to go. You go recognizing that God, who knows where you're going, saw you there, and He has already taken care of the problem. So you show up, and one day, yeah, you might pay the $1,000. But another time, you might get there and somebody else has paid it. Or you may get there and they say, we have a wonderful sale going on our hotel. There's something going on, and the hotel has decided to. And I've stayed in very expensive hotels, and I ended up paying about $30. The same God. Is somebody listening?
Yes.
You don't make decisions based on natural things. You make decisions based on what did God say? What did He tell me to do? He told me to do this. Then you must know that all I have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But he's given me a problem of 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ do? He gave thanks. He says, sit them down in order. Here, take it. Go feed them. And he fed them, and they came back collecting the fragments, and they have 12 baskets more than he started with. How does that make any sense to anybody? Oh, is that fairy tale? No, that's the reality of God. That's why I told you the story about the paint. How does it make any sense to God? He is God and he knows. I can do whatever I want to do. I have all power, all knowledge, and I'm everywhere present. So, you need that? That's what you got. You ask, you receive. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say to us? I'm saying, relax. That's all I'm saying. Just relax. Don't be worrying about all kinds of stuff. Your worrying is delaying the answer. Don't worry about it. Is there a solution? Absolutely. How is the solution going to be made manifest? None of your problem. If I tell you what kind of bills I have to take care of, how much it costs to do church, you say, no way. No way, come on. Oh, yeah. And here I'm facing this big fat bill. What am I going to do? Trust in God. Just trust in God. He already knew about it before you got here. He'll take care of it. And lo and behold, God, when you needed it, he just puts it in your hand and you pay the bill, you know, with a smile on your face like you never had a problem. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the trouble I have seen. You don't, why are you worrying about it? Like worrying is going to fix it. No. Trust God. How he solves a problem is his problem. None of your problem. Just trust him. And stop looking for plan B and plan C. If this doesn't work, maybe this will work. If that doesn't work, we'll try this. If that doesn't work, we'll try this. That's the more reason you stay stuck in your trouble, because you have not had enough sense to stick with God and understand that God knows about plan B, A, C, D, and Z. He knows all about it. The God who knows when one hair falls off of your head, not by how many, he knows the number of the hair. God has numbered every hair on your head. He knows hair number 1, 2, 2A, 2C, number 3. He knows the one H, B, C. He knows every single one. And when one falls, I say, hair number 1, 2, C just fell. He knows. Do you think he doesn't know about the details? You'll be surprised how detailed God is. One of my experiences in God many years ago was a very mundane situation. I was looking for an address for somebody who wanted to come to church, and they gave me the address. This was pre-GPS. And I asked the person, where is this person's house? He says, oh, it's just off Jefferson. Just on Jefferson, just there. So, Jefferson is not a very long street. So I go to the beginning of Jefferson. And I drive to the end of Jefferson. From McPhillips to Main Street. I didn't see the street. I came all the way down. Maybe if I drive slower, I will see it. I came all the way down. Still didn't see it. I went all the way up. Didn't see it. Came all the way down. I'm giving up now. God says, you want to know where the place is? I said, sure, I'd like to know. So follow me. So I followed the direction of God. I got to Sinclair. Said, make a right turn. I turned right. And I'm going down Sinclair. I can see the dead end over there. I'm about to turn. I said, this is the wrong way. He says, did you get to the end yet? I said, no. He said, then keep on going. So I got to the end, and guess what? That was a street. That was a street I was looking for. The person said, off Jefferson. It was nowhere close to off Jefferson. But God knew exactly where the person's house was. Do you think God knows your address? Oh, so then, if God knows your address, do you think he can get a parcel to you? So why are you worrying? Nobody knows where my house is. God knows your house is. He knows it. He knows your zip code. He knows every single detail about you. Therefore, you need not worry about anything. Praise the Lord. Praying is coming to a God who knows the details, the fine details. You want to sign a document, and God says, stop it. Don't sign it. Why? Why should you sign it? Don't sign that document. But it's a good deal. Don't sign the document. Say, well, I was planning on signing it, but I don't think it's right for me to sign it. Why? Why are you not going to sign it? You did that. I'm not signing it. And you find out later. Hey, if I had signed that document, I would have paid $1 million more than I should. I would have paid $200,000 more than I should. We wanted to buy a house. We needed a house. And you've heard me tell this story. We need to get the house like now. We finally found the house. But when we found it, I said I didn't like it because the house was too ugly, I said. Mama and the real estate agent coaxed me out, said, you're already here, you've looked at other places, why don't you come here and look at this? I go in there, and as soon as I stepped through the doors, I didn't see anything. I knew I was in my house. I said, this is it. They said, you just said you didn't like it. I said, this is the house. How do I know? Because the witness of the Holy Spirit said, this is the house. Now, we don't have a dime. Not a dime. You have to do down payment to get the house. We don't have a dime for down payment. Because the year before, we had given everything we had saved. Not that it was going to be enough anyway. To God, because God said, give me my money. So we gave God his money. And now we're here. We asked God, how much do you want to pay? God told us. It was $60,000 less than asking price. Are you with me? 60 grand less than asking price. But God had already told us what he wants to pay. What did I say? What God wants to what? Pay. Not what I can afford. What he wants to pay. He says, this is the amount. So we wrote, we gave the real estate agent our offer. He puts everything down, but we still don't have a down payment. He says, my commission is going to be your down payment. The commission is going to come from the person who's selling the house. So he answers, he says, that's what's going to happen. So anyway, there's a guy living in the house, renting. The guy had offered $40,000 more than we are offering. Was turned down 2 weeks before by the owner, who is a Jewish lawyer. Turned him down. Cold turkey. I'm not selling to you. The guy's in his house. He doesn't have to move or do anything. He's in the house. Turns him down 2 weeks before, and we come 2 weeks later offering him $60,000 less. And who gets the house? We do. Are you with me? We get the house. We moved into the house. And that house became the most beautiful house on the street. Amen. Hallelujah. God did extraordinary things. What am I saying? God answers prayers. If you link up with him, you don't have to pay what everybody else pays. I just went, I was in Toronto the other day doing ministry. And I'm coming down the street and the Lord says to me, go to Mars. I said, go to Mars? To do what? He said, go to Mars. So I drive down to the Mars store that was there. I get in there. They had all the suits in there. They had all the suits in there. I said, I don't need any suit. They said, get there now. So I went. I'm looking through the rack. There are suits in there for $1,000. And was being sold for $49.99. The guy who came to help me says, take at least three. For this price, you cannot miss it. I said, thank you very much. I'm doing exactly that. So I grabbed three. And I went and I paid. And then I had a coupon. And I cut it down $50 more. Hello? Who cares how much I paid? I care. Because I saved that day close to $3,000 and three suits. Why? God says, I'm your partner. We know how to spend our money. Praise the Lord. But he says it is his money. So he's going to spend it the way he wants to spend it. And so if he tells me go to Mars, I'm going to Mars, whether I like it or not. Hallelujah. 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 You know, not trying to make anybody jealous or anything, but the fact is, the best way to shop is to shop with God. Go shopping with God is the best thing. But I warn you, sometimes he pays more than you need to pay. So what do you mean? Why would he want to pay more? Because he wants to bless somebody. You can go to a restaurant and be eating and eat something for $20 and God says, tip $100. Because the person that is serving you needs the $100 and it is his money. He wants to give $100 tip. What problem of yours is that? Now, the fact is, if you obey God in doing just that, you don't know what God is going to do next step for you. Because God is going to speak to somebody, and I've had this happen. Somebody flew all the way from Washington or from Maryland, flew all the way from Maryland, came to meet me in Toronto and said, God told me to come all the way from Maryland, fly here with my wife to give you this money. It cost him more to fly to me. But God told him, you fly. From there, over here. Can God move things for you? If God has a husband for you or a wife from you, for you, he can get them from anywhere. Swaziland, he will go and find the person. He'll bring them. And the person might just be riding a bike and hit you. Pow! Contact! And, hey, why did you do that? And, oh, this is the stars, all of birds. Oh, this is it. Where did you come? I just came from Swaziland. Whatever God wants to do, he will do. And all I'm saying is, just get connected with him anyway. He knows the best. And he knows how to work it out. So don't start worrying about, when am I going to have be married? How am I going to have a child? Forget about that. God already knows the details about it, and you take care of it. Amen? Amen? Worry about nothing. Fret about nothing. I only just made it through high school. That guy is way over my grade. He's a surgeon, and I'm not that pretty. And guess what? If God wants you married to that guy, that money bag, he will see what he has not seen. Hello? I said he will see what he has not seen. When you start coming, he'll think, this is the most beautiful woman on the earth. I cannot live without this one. And somebody says, what on earth did you see in that woman? Don't you have eyes? Love must be blind. No, well, God will make you see whatever it is he wants you to see, because he wants to be the one who blesses. Don't ever count yourself out of the blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. All this stuff I told you were not part of the plan. I was going to preach something else to you. And the Lord said, no, that's not where we're going tonight. This is where we are going. This must be for somebody. God wanted you to hear some things tonight, to trigger certain things in your spirit so that you just rest. And not fret and worry. Oh, how is this going to happen? How am I this? Oh, I just got fired from the job that I was. Huh? Praise the Lord, because you're getting a better job. Oh, how am I going to be a counselor in the city? I don't have any roots in politics. And God says, you get there. I don't know anybody. No, who's going to vote for me? God knows what to do. He knows exactly what to do. You just need to line up with what God is saying to you and let thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. How many of you have heard about a man called Daniel before? He was in exile in Babylon. Himself and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Remember him? But some way, somehow, Daniel became boss of everybody. How did God do that? Because Daniel sought God, wanted to do what God wanted. When you seek the heart of God, God promotes you. Do you understand? Don't count yourself out at any level. Say, well, I can't this because. No. I can because God. I will because God. I shall because God. That's your language. Any other thing is eaten out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do it. Eat out of the tree of life. And out of the tree of life, only good things are happening there. Connect. We say, you finished. No. Never. They said the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? Third day he popped out. That's you. That's your story. That's your story. Amen? That's your story. You cannot be counted out. You make it. Your head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Amen? You are the I can do all things person. Do you believe that? I can. That's why, that's the only reason why we're on television every single day, Monday through Friday, to so to speak, twice in the day. You know how much it costs to pay for television program? I can. Hallelujah. So I'm not talking to you about something I don't believe in. I'm talking to you about, I can give you all kinds of examples of the reality. I can. Why do you think you can? Because God said. And if God says, get off television, it will never be because I don't have money to pay. It will be because God said, get out. Do you understand? Don't do anything based on circumstance. You do everything based on God said. And even if you've not heard God say anything yet, and you believe in you that it's a good thing for you to do for the glory of God, not for your own selfish ego, start moving. It's easier to steer and manipulate a moving vehicle than one that is stationary. If you don't understand that, go sit down in your car and try to steer that vehicle on one spot. You see how hard the steering is. But when you are going real speed, you just need to just touch it like this, and you are moving. That's you. Amen? I said, that's you.
Amen.
You're on the move.
Amen.
And it's just easy. You don't. You're not moving. You're moving? Yes. And you'll be playing your music and be bumping your head. That's the God life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. Lord, you have a purpose for us. And Lord, oh God, we are in agreement with your word and your will. We're saying, oh God, today, whatever it is that you have for us as individuals, whatever it is that you have for us as a church, whatever it is that you have for us as families, Lord God, we are simply saying we agree with your will, and we say let it be manifested here in the earth. So, Lord God, that all can see and say this is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So, Lord God, we are surrendered to your will. Your will done. Your will done. Your will done. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us honor God with our giving. And may God's grace abound towards you. Be fulfilled. Remember what we said today. If you forgot anything, and I pray you didn't forget anything that we talked about today, do remember this, that we are saying, God, you have a will. I'm agreeing with your will. We are not saying, if it be thy will. No. That's not what we're talking about. It is not, if it be thy will. I am saying, you have a will, let it be unto me according to your will, according to your word. Do you understand? If is pushing the poison of unbelief into it. No, God has a will. Something is going to happen with this situation. And it's going to be good. Amen? Not if it. Lord, you have a will concerning this. Let it now be manifested. That's it. Amen? Praise the Lord. God bless you richly. We look forward to experiencing the Lord with you this Wednesday and on Friday. And of course, next Sunday. We are encouraged about the goodness of the Lord, and we know that He's a faithful God and He has something in store for your life today. Enjoy Him, prosper, flourish, blossom, take flight, and be fulfilled in every area of your life. We love you, and until we see you again, we say, be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Love you. Good night.